An extension of the modified enhanced community quarantine in the NCR plus bubble looming. We'll get the thoughts of Nabota City Mayor Toby Danko on this later on in the program. U.S. President Joe Biden assures India America is ready to help in its battle with rising COVID-19 cases. The head of survey group Pulse Asia says the result of the latest presidential survey that was topped by President Duterte's daughter was the result of name recall. And breaking barriers in Hollywood, Chinese-born Chloe Zhao wins the Academy Award for Best Director, while Yun Yu-jung becomes the first South Korean actor to win an Oscar. Good afternoon. I'm Camina Constantino. Dateline Philippines begins right now. Thanks for joining us. And for those of you watching us on YouTube and on Facebook, glad you could join us today. Philippine Health Secretary Francisco Duque III in favor of extending the modified enhanced community quarantine in Metro Manila and nearby provinces. The secretary says many hospitals remain under critical risk classification, with a number of COVID-19 patients still rising. He also warns of a continued increase in coronavirus infections if the lockdown is further eased. The MECQ status in the National Capital Region, Cavite, Laguna, Bulacan, and Rizal, set to expire on April 30th.
Kung titignan natin ang datos, tingin ko talagang kinakailangan ipagpatuloy ang MECQ for another week or two, dahil nga yung ating health system's capacity ay hindi masyadong nag-i-improve pa sa ngayon. Although meron na senyales na bumababa ang kaso sa Kamaynilaan, bumabagal ano ang bagong mga cases, may kataasan pa rin ang average daily cases natin for the last 2 weeks.
COVID-19 cases in the Philippines continue to inch closer to 1 million after over 8,000 new cases were reported on Sunday. Meanwhile, Metro Manila mayors expected to come up with a recommendation today on the possible MECQ extension. Mayors from the National Capital Region met with health officials Sunday night to discuss their options. Marikina Mayor Marcy Dutoro says, aside from rising cases, another factor that will have a major impact on their decision is the pandemic's effect on the economy.
May mga scenarios silang ipinakita na kung sakaling mag-GCQ tayo, ano yung projection ng pagdami ng kaso at kung magpatuloy ng 2 linggo yung MECQ kung gaano karami, at ang isang senaryo nga yung kung 1 buwan pang ipagpapatuloy ito. Malaking problema natin at suliranin ayon na rin sa pag-uusap namin kahapon ay yung ekonomiya natin na dumadami patuloy yung mga nawawalan ng trabaho. Yung mga maraming nagsasarang mga kumpanya, at ito yung magiging subject ng patuloy na pagpupulong ng Department of Health at ng NEDA pag na-factor in na yung economic impact assessment ay magkakaroon ulit ng pulong ang mga Metro Manila mayors mamayang alas 4 ng hapon, at maring doon ay magkaroon ng recommendation na.
A 2-floor quarantine facility for the Philippine National Police has been opened in Central Luzon. The Public Works Department funded the 32-bed facility, which is expected to facilitate the rapid isolation of COVID-positive police personnel from their family and colleagues. Last Sunday, the PNP reported another death due to COVID-19, bringing its total death toll to 53. The PNP's total case count stands at more than 19,500. The Philippines' vaccine chief expects the accelerated delivery of COVID-19 vaccines next month. Carlito Galvez Jr. says the country will have around 10 million shots before June, when the delayed donations from the World Health Organization's COVAX facility arrive. He adds the Philippines is ironing out its indemnity clause with Pfizer which is expected to supply 40 million doses to the country. Meanwhile, the vaccines by Moderna expected to arrive in June. That's according to Philippine Ambassador to the U.S. Jose Manuel Romualdez. But he admits plans for the U.S. to share its vaccine supply will depend on when domestic demand will slow down.
Everyone is into this very critical situation. So everyone is trying to catch up with whatever we need to do. And like I always said, we're really under the gun here. We really need to get these vaccines as quickly as possible. And so we're doing everything we can.
Some senators welcome the gag order slapped on the spokesperson of the Philippines' anti-communist insurgency task force, as well as a top official of the Palace Communications Group. Lieutenant General Antonio Parlade Jr. and Presidential Communications Undersecretary Lorraine Badoy were ordered to stop talking about community pantry organizers after they allegedly red-tagged some of them. National Security Advisor Hermogenes Esperon Jr. issued that gag order. He insists the National Task Force to End Local Communist Armed Conflict is not against the spirit of unity and cooperation embodied by the community pantries. While Senator Sherwin Galcharian welcomes Esperon's action, he is still pushing for a probe into the task force's 19 billion peso budget.
There's still merit to look into the funding of the NTF and the anti-insurgency program. Now, this is a big amount, Christian. It's not a small sum. No? It's about 16 billion. And if we have people like Parlade making decisions, we're not confident that they will make the right decision and spend the money judiciously.
For Gabriela Women's Party List Representative Arlene Brosas, the task force should be abolished. She also wants Parlade and Badoy to be dismissed immediately and barred from public office. Dr. Teodoro Herbosa has resigned as the executive vice president of the University of the Philippines. That's after drawing flak for his reaction to a man's death while waiting in line at a community pantry organized by actress Angel Locsin. Herbosa says he was even attacked by an army of trolls. Herbosa already issued a public apology for his tweet. He insists he supports community pantries and that he was only objecting to violations of public health standards. Herbosa also says he will stay on as an advisor to the National COVID-19 Task Force.
I felt bad as a disaster expert to look at a crowd called to a particular place without preparation, leading to the death of an innocent person. In disaster medicine, the first principle we teach people that will take care of a crowd is safety first. This is my fight as a Filipino. I volunteered as a government employee to the National Task Force to help out, and I continue to volunteer to help the National Task Force.
India shaken after the country broke its own record for the most number of COVID-19 infections in a single day. The number of cases surged by 349,691 just over the past 24 hours, the fourth straight day of record peaks. Hospitals across the country are forced to turn away patients after running out of beds and medical oxygen. Prime Minister Narendra Modi urges all citizens to be vaccinated and to exercise caution. Modi's government has been criticized for allowing big religious and political gatherings earlier this year and for failing to boost healthcare systems. India has recorded a total of 16.96 million coronavirus infections and more than 192,000 deaths. U.S. President Joe Biden says America is ready to help India as the country buckles under a tremendous coronavirus surge. This report tells us American officials are considering sending their unused COVID-19 jabs to India.
U.S. President Joe Biden on Sunday said the United States stands ready to help India deal with a massive spike in coronavirus cases, noting that India helped Americans at the start of the health crisis. On Twitter, Biden said, quote, "Just as India sent assistance to the United States as our hospitals were strained early in the pandemic, we are determined to help India in its time of need." Earlier on Sunday, the White House said the U.S. will immediately provide raw materials to help India manufacture the COVID-Shield vaccine, along with medical equipment and protective gear to help India respond to what has been billed a COVID tsunami. Washington said it would also send therapeutics, rapid diagnostic test kits, and ventilators. The U.S. was under mounting pressure to help India, where oxygen plants are being pushed to the brink. Indian Prime Minister Narendra Modi urged all citizens to be vaccinated and exercise caution. U.S. officials are also actively considering sending India its unused doses of the AstraZeneca vaccine that have not yet been approved for use domestically, top U.S. infectious disease expert Dr. Anthony Fauci told ABC on Sunday.
Britain is sending more than 600 medical devices to India. The equipment, which includes oxygen concentrators and ventilators, come from India's Make That Britain's surplus stock. These are due to arrive in India, Make That in New Delhi on Tuesday.
There'll be a series of other shipments. The first one goes out today, and we're in ongoing discussions with the Indian government about further things that they may or may not need. We want to provide them all the support because they're close friends, increasingly important partners, but also we need this kind of international collaboration if we're going to get through the pandemic. We're not going to be safe until we're all safe.
Last Saturday, cryogenic oxygen containers arrived in India from Singapore. They will be sent to different hospitals across the country. After an overwhelming number of fresh COVID-19 cases caused medical oxygen supply to run out. Americans who have been fully vaccinated against COVID-19 may be able to visit the European Union over the summer. That's according to a report from the New York Times. European Commission President Ursula von der Leyen says U.S. and EU officials are in advanced talks over the use of vaccine certificates as proof of immunity. She cited the fast pace of vaccinations in the U.S. as one of the main considerations for the reopening. Now, should the move push through, it would mark an end to the bloc's more than one-year travel ban on most countries due to the pandemic. In Asia, Hong Kong and Singapore will reportedly start their travel bubble on May 26. Sources also say the number of flights could increase by June if there are no further outbreaks in either city. Hong Kong and Singapore have been working on an agreement since last year to allow people to travel between the two cities without quarantine, but numerous COVID-19 outbreaks delayed that plan. And back here at home, let's now talk to Napata City Mayor Toby Tianco for his thoughts on a possible MECQ extension in the NCR Plus bubble. Good afternoon, Mayor. Thank you for joining us today. Nice to see you again.
Yes. Hi, Carmina. Magandang tanghali.
All right. I understand that you're going to have a meeting today with your fellow mayors to discuss about the possible extension of the MECQ. What is your stand on the easing of restrictions or status quo?
We will have a meeting at 4 p.m. today, no? Supposedly, para pakita sa amin yung data. Kung ano yung recommended quarantine measure after April 30, no? So, actually, last night there was preliminary data shown already, but they will have to refine it and include the economic data.
What did you find lacking in the presentation last night?
Wala naman. Wala lang yung, ano? Wala lang yung economic data, no? Wala lang yung economic data. But, based on what they presented, cases are going down, no? And even in Navotas, cases are going down already. So I hope na kayanin yung GCQ. I hope kayanin yung GCQ.
Okay, but let's talk about Navotas now. What is happening in your city? Post the lockdown and the subsequent easing, what are the numbers telling you? It's going down,
like,
yes,
from
is
the
it
peak
sustainable?
Of, yeah, from the peak of 1,300, we're now at 786, no? yun na nga, ang sitwasyon is it's going down. We just hope it continues to go down. But there are some changes in characteristics that I noticed, no? During the ECQ and the MECQ. First of all, yung mga dati, hindi masyado takot yung tao dito sa COVID. Eh. Ngayon, medyo natatakot na talaga sila, no? Number two, nakikita naman natin na because they've seen na kung magluag, pwedeng bumalik sa paghihigpit, sa tingin ko, kung mag-GCQ ngayon, mas magiging maingat na yung tao because they know it's not a permanent GCQ, but anytime the cases go up, pwedeng bumalik sa mas mahigpit. No? Sa tingin ko, mag-iingat sila.
Because number three... Yeah, yes. Go ahead.
Number three, yung hawaan talaga is doon sa non-essential activities. Eh. It is doon sa leisure. Eh. Konti lang naman talaga yung nahahawa doon sa place of work kasi lagi silang nakasuot ng face mask. Though meron pa din kasi nga iba na yung class ng variant. No? Pero talagang isipin mo, kung naka-face mask, nagkakahawaan na, eh mas lalo na pag nagtanggal ng face mask. And when does this happen? This happens kung nagkaroon ng birthday, nagkaroon ng gathering. Doon nangyayari yan. So I think people will be smart enough to avoid these gatherings already and really limit their risk to those essential activities. Because even if you wear, kahit naka-full gear ka, there is always that risk, no? So they will have, I think now they're smart enough that they will calculate the risk and they'll only go out pag talagang kailangan. Iba yung characteristics ngayon.
But Mayor, let's go back to the numbers. You said the cases are going down, but this is a result of the two-week lockdown. This is still the result of the ECQ. We are now in MECQ. We have yet to see what the result of the MECQ is.
Yes, that's why nga importante yung data ng health experts because they're the ones able to see 2 weeks forward, eh, diba? Kami, sa local government, we see the start and we see the characteristics, but they're the ones who can forecast, no? And they're the ones who should know kung ano talaga yung mga nangyayari, no? But it's also very important, I think, hindi lang naman dito sa LGU because I don't know if you've seen the India data, no?
Oh, yeah.
Dr. Tony Lechon sent me the India data. At yun yung nakakatakot, no? So if that variant is already in India, I think we have to strengthen our border controls again. Na wag nang papasukin yung variant na yun dito. Kasi pag yun na naman nakapasok dito, ang hirap na naman, paano naman natin kukontrolin? Because if you recall, Carmina, it's the UK variant and the Brazilian variant that was the cause of the increase of the cases, di ba? Kaya bakit ba biglang ang grabing hawaan? It was because of the UK and the Brazilian variant. So, looking back, kung napigilan o nabawasan natin yung pagpasok nito, siguro hindi magiging ganun kagrabe. Now that there is this variant in India, then we also have to be very careful. No? Sorry, I have to call it by the names of the countries kasi hindi ko makabisado yung P11 whatever.
Apo.
Yeah, so I have to call it by the names of the countries.
Understood. I do want to find out what your position is going into the meeting this afternoon. Knowing everything that you know now, absent the data of coming from the economic part of it, the projection, how are you going to go into that meeting? What is your mindset? Do you think you're going to be in favor of status quo, let the MECQ remain?
I think I would prefer to, honestly, no, kung wala naman, if the health experts will not say that it's dangerous to go to GCQ, parang mas gusto ko GCQ kasi hirap na talaga yung mga tao. It's so difficult, no? Lalo na doon sa mga daily wage earner, talagang hirap na sila. And yung sources ng gobyerno, limitado, no? Like for example, di ba yung ayuda na binigay, no? Yung doon sa Navotas, we were given 199,871,000 pesos, no? And di ba they enumerated the sectors that we have to give to? Doon sa joint memorandum circular, sila naman nagsabi na bigyan yung bayanihan, yung SAP 1, bigyan yung SAP 2, bigyan yung SAP waitlisted, bigyan yung... Sila naglista niyan. At nung nilista namin, kulang yung pondo na about 33 million. So we even had to realign funds revert is the correct word, revert funds from other projects kasi hindi kasi binigay ng local government. Hindi naman namin pwede sabihin na yan lang binigay, nasa listahan sila. So we had to revert funds. Imagine if we will extend this, mas madami mahihirapan sa ating mga kababayan. At limitado na yung kakayanan ng local government and even the national government maybe to help. So dapat, kung pwede at hindi sasabihin na delikado, yun ang gawin natin. Pero ulit, sana matuto na tayo, higpitan na natin yung pagpasok, whatever we have to do para hindi makapasok yung variant na meron sa India. Gawin na natin kasi nakakatakot ang taas ng deaths nila doon sa India.
Oh. It's really harrowing when you see it. It's heartbreaking. It's a nightmare what is happening in India right now. Pero ang maganda sana, Mayor, kung mag-GCQ, sabay dito yung magandang pag-roll out at tuloy-tuloy na roll out ng vaccination. I mean, that would really spell a big difference. So let me ask you, how is the vaccination rollout going there in the city of Navotas?
Okay naman, no? But I think this is what we have to do, no? We have to help each other convince the lower income class na magpabakuna. Because doon sa middle class pataas, talagang ang taas ng turnout, eh. Doon sa, katulad na lang doon sa aming mga in-city relocation, no? Ang baba nung turnout, eh. Parang may mga kinakatakutan pa sila, eh. And that's what I noticed when I checked the demographics ng mga nagpapabakuna. Mas acceptable siya doon sa middle class pataas, no? Doon sa lower income class, meron naman. Kaya lang mas mababa yung acceptance doon, no? So I think we will have to design programs and communications to convince them to be vaccinated. Oh. Sabi ko nga, ako nagpabakuna ako 2 weeks na, no? 14 days na as of today. Wala naman kahit anong side effect.
How many do you get to vaccinate every day?
Okay, but as of today, naka 10,000. As of Saturday, naka 10,000 na kami.
10,000.
Yeah, we started noong March 5. But remember, noong March 5, konti-konti lang yung dating ng bakuna noon, eh. And if we don't get vaccines today, we will run out today. Pero ang sabi sa amin, mabibigyan kami this week, no?
So if
and
you don't...
Yun yung pinaka mahalaga. Doon sa 10,000 na yun, walang grabbing epekto kahit isa. Walang namatay kahit isa. So, sana naman magpabakuna na yung ating mga kababayan, no? Yun lang siguro, magandang data na yan. Walang grabe, no? Kaya nga, sorry, I cut you off. Carmina, what was it?
No, I was gonna say, if you can just adjust your mic, because I think it's hitting the lapel. There you go.
Oh, sorry, yeah.
That's better. Okay, so let me just go back to what you said. If you don't get a fresh delivery of vaccines, you are going to run out of vaccines today in the city
of
Navotas?
Yes, but we were assured that we will get it. We were assured that we will get it. Because arrived, di ba, last week, may dumating. 4,000 ulit yung dadating sa amin siguro today.
Hmm. How would you describe the pace of your vaccination there in Navotas?
Yun, syempre we adjust it, eh, di ba? We could make it faster, but it depends on the supplies. Kung alam naman namin 4,000 lang yung bakuna, hindi kami masyadong mamadali because we have to balance our resources, Carmina. Yung sitwasyon kasi is yung health workers, iniikot-ikot lang namin yan, eh. Di ba? So in order to open 4 vaccination sites, we have to close some health centers. We have to close some barangay health centers. Nung pinano kasi natin itong rollout ng vaccine, if you will recall, this was in February this year, no? That was the lowest, yun yung pinakamababang cases natin. So nung nagplaplano kami dito, ang assumption, hindi namin na-foresee na tataas yung kaso ng ganito. Ang assumption nun, konting-konting yung kaso, magbabakuna tayo. So ang dami nating doktor, ang dami nating nurses, kasi hindi naman sila nag-aasikaso ng mga COVID patients.
Oh.
Pero ngayon, biglang nag-asikaso sila ng COVID patients. So yung pinaplano namin na 16 sites, hindi namin magawa. Because nga, yung mga doktor busy na nag-aasikaso everyday. Right. Nag-check sila ng mga pasyente nila. Tapos papasok yung positives. Che-checkin nila ulit isa-isa. So lahat ng mga doktor natin busy. So binubunot lang namin yung mga doktor. Depende doon sa availability ng vaccine. So babalansihin lahat itong bagay na ito. Mas mataas yung positives, ang contradiction is mas mababa yung capability magbakuna. Di ba dapat bilisan yung bakuna? Kaya lang yung tao eh, saan mo kukunin eh? Mas konti ang positive cases, mas mataas yung capability magbakuna. So yung dalawang yan, binabalansin namin.
So at the rate you're going, Mayor, when do you think you'll be able to vaccinate all the eligible there in Navotas?
If we will follow the data of DOH, out of 150,000 na 18 and above, so naka 10,000 na kami, so that is 6%. But that's because of the availability of vaccine. So syempre we will adjust. Pag dumami yung bakuna, adjust kami. Magsasara lang naman kami mas madaming health center.
Sige. We're gonna have to leave it at that.
So ganun ang gagawin natin.
All right, we're going to have to leave it at that. As always, we wish you well. Best of luck to you in your rollout and also in your COVID response. Navota City Mayor Toby Tianco, thanks for joining us today.
Thank you. Take care. Stay safe. Bye.
All right, we're going to take a break now. Coming up, the Philippines' agriculture chief facing a graft complaint over pork imports. We'll have that plus the latest NBA results when Dateline Philippines returns later this year on RNC. There's still a Dateline Philippines. Here's another look at our headlines this noon. An extension of the modified enhanced community quarantine in the NCR Plus bubble looming. Navotas Mayor Toby Tianco, though, is hopeful there's enough data to justify a lowering of restrictions. U.S. President Joe Biden assures India America is ready to help in its battle with the rising COVID-19 cases there. Head of survey group Pulse Asia says the result of their latest presidential survey that was topped by the president's daughter was the result of name recall. And breaking barriers in Hollywood, Chinese-born Chloe Zhao wins the Academy Award for Best Director, while Yun Yu Jung becomes the first South Korean actor to win an Oscar. And let's get another opinion on a possible extension of the modified enhanced community quarantine in the NCR Plus bubble. Joining now is San Juan Mayor Francis Zamora. Mayor Zamora, good afternoon to you, and thank you for joining us today.
Yes, good afternoon, Carmina, and thank you for having me on ANC.
All right. I just spoke with Navota City Mayor Toby Tianco, and he is hopeful that once presented with the data later this afternoon on the economic health, that an easing of restrictions is going to be possible. He's actually in favor of a GCQ rather than the status quo. What about you? What are your thoughts going into the meeting? Are you in favor of easing restrictions, Mayor?
Well, personally, after seeing the data from our meeting yesterday, I am inclined to vote for MECQ, meaning the continuation of MECQ here in Metro Manila. And this is because in spite of the fact that our numbers are going down, they are still at a very high figure at this point. In fact, we still have 912 active cases here in San Juan, and I would rather see this number go even lower. And even in terms of healthcare utilization, even if our occupancy is also going down, it's still at a very high level. So I'm aware that by this afternoon, we will be asked to vote, and I will be voting for MECQ.
Because the cases may be going down, but Mayor, isn't this the result of the previous lockdown? And we have yet to see the result of the current status, the MECQ.
Yeah, that's why I would rather keep it at MECQ. I'm not inclined to open up to GCQ at this point because after going through ECQ and now at MECQ, the decline is happening, but not at a rate that we were really expecting. So if we open up by May back to GCQ, then I'm very sure that the numbers will go up again. And this is something that we all want to avoid. We do not want to have another surge. So what we really need to do is bring down the numbers even more and improve our contact tracing, improve our quarantine facilities to ensure that we will be able to accommodate all of these patients.
Mayor Zamora, how confident are you that the city's economic health can stand an extension of the MECQ?
Okay, right now, we are still distributing our cash ayuda from the national government. In fact, we are done already with the priority list. And what we are doing is we are redistributing the balance, because after distributing for the 4Ps, the SAP 1, SAP 2 beneficiaries, also those in the waitlist, we have added a lot of other low-income individuals, also the solo parents, PWDs, and we still have probably 10 million left to redistribute. So we have distributed close to 88 million pesos already, between 1 to 4,000 pesos per family. So this is something that will help our constituents during the MECQ, especially if ever it will indeed be extended. So apart from that, we have already distributed also our food trucks from the city. If ever MECQ will be continued, it doesn't mean this is going to last too long. But right now, for me, I would really just keep the status quo.
All right. Now, what about the vaccine rollout? Speaking to Navata City Mayor Toby Tianco a while ago, he said that if they don't get any fresh deliveries, their vaccines will run out today. But they were assured that a fresh delivery is going to come within the week. What about the situation in San Juan? Do you have enough vaccines? What's the situation there?
Secretary Galvez mentioned to us that 500,000 doses of Sinovac arrived the other day, and each Metro Manila LGU will be given an allocation. And apart from that, 1.5 million doses will be arriving in the country, and 1 million will be distributed to Metro Manila. So that means in the next few days, we should have more supply. But right now, I'm out of my first dose already. We have run out of the first dose, although we have 6,500 for the second dose, which we will be inoculating this entire week. So hopefully before the week ends, the supply for the first dose will arrive for San Juan. Thus, we can continue inoculating for first doses.
All right. At the rate you're going, when do you think you'll be able to vaccinate all of the eligible in the city of San Juan?
We have vaccinated more than 10,000 San Juanenos already in a span of 1 month. And this is with the very low supply at this point. So once the expected supplies arrive by June or July, this is something we can do in just probably a month and a half. We have ordered 100,000 doses of AstraZeneca. The city has procured this, and we have actually given the down payment already. So we're just waiting for the arrival. And once it happens, we can vaccinate probably 2,000 to 3,000 daily. And the target population for vaccination is just 85,400. So if you do the mathematics, that can be done in just a few weeks, for as long as the supplies indeed come. So I'm optimistic that come June or July, once the volume of vaccines indeed arrive, we will be able to finish vaccinating the qualified population in just a few weeks, or probably a month or a month and a half.
And talking about the qualified population, I do want to get your thoughts on this. In other countries, they have included in the priority list the vaccination of all personnel included in the transport sector, and this has greatly contributed to the mobilization of their economy. Do you think that it's about time that we bump up those within the transport sector to be part of the priority list if we were to really spur the economy, Mayor?
Actually, the E4 list that the IATF has released is basically focused on people who are involved in keeping the economy afloat. Now, including the transport sector, that would be okay for me. Actually, anyone who is directly related to business and keeping the economy afloat, I'm okay with that, because at the end of the day, our ultimate goal is to vaccinate the entire population, but we are prioritizing. And for us to be able to reopen the businesses, the industries, we will need the workforce to be vaccinated. So I'm perfectly okay with that, Carmina.
All right, we're going to have to leave it at that. I understand that, you know, we caught you in a very during a very busy day. We appreciate you taking our call. San Juan Mayor Francis Zamora, thank you. Take care. Keep safe.
Thank you very much, Carmina.
Right, from there, we move on with the rest of the news. Presidential daughter, Davao City Mayor Sara Duterte Carpio, remains the top choice for president for the 2022 national elections. That's despite her insistence she will not run. The latest Pulse Asia survey shows Duterte Carpio leading all probable presidential candidates with 27%. She is followed by the son of the late dictator Ferdinand Marcos, former Senator Bongbong Marcos with 13%. Senator Grace Poe and Manila Mayor Isko Moreno were tied at the third spot with 12% each. Senator and boxing champion Manny Pacquiao earned the fourth spot with 11%, followed by Vice President Lenny Robredo with 7%. Duterte Carpio was the most preferred presidential bet in her home region of Mindanao with a whopping 60%, but she's the least preferred among respondents in Metro Manila at 12%. Meanwhile, Moreno topped the list of preferred vice presidential candidates with 16%, followed closely by Pacquiao and Duterte Carpio with 15%. President of Pulse Asia says that pre-election survey was essentially a popularity contest. According to Ronnie Holmes, name recall largely influenced the preference of respondents at this point in time. He notes the picture will be clearer once campaign period begins.
I think what would be driving most of the voting pre-election preference at this point would really be name recall. It's not so much the record because they have not in any way disseminated this record. I think for some people, they would know what they have done. But for many people, it's really the name that is the basis of their decision, the recognition of the name. And there are a number of people who are really more nationally prominent, or we can say that the public is much more familiar with these individuals relative to all the other individuals.
China commissions its largest amphibious assault ship, which is expected to be deployed in the South China Sea. The South China Morning Post reports the ship can carry an estimated 30 helicopters and hundreds of troops. Observers say the ship called the Hainan could play a strategic role in the disputed waters where China has territorial claims. Meanwhile, the Philippine Coast Guard and the Bureau of Fisheries conducted maritime exercises in the West Philippine Sea last Saturday. In an online forum, a U.S. defense consultant urged the Philippines and the United States to conduct joint patrols along with other Southeast Asian nations.
Combined Vietnamese Philippine Coast Guard patrols in the area of Julian Felipe Reef will deter any further aggression there. I also think if you were to invite the U.S. Coast Guard to go with you, that would send a very strong signal as well.
Last Friday, Manila filed two new diplomatic protests against Beijing over the illegal and lingering presence of Chinese ships in Philippine waters. It has vowed to continuously file diplomatic actions until the vessels leave the country's exclusive economic zone. Indonesia's military chief confirms all crew on board the sunken submarine KRI Nanggala 402. They've all died. And as this report tells us, President Joko Widodo sends his condolences to the victims' families.
Indonesia's military chief on Sunday confirmed that all crew on board the sunken Navy submarine have died. Hari Jajanto told a news conference that, based on the evidence that has been found, the submarine has sunk and none of the 53 crew members on board have survived. Navy Chief of Staff Yudo Margono added that the 44-year-old submarine was found broken into three parts: the hull, the stern, and the main parts, and that cracks were found on the main part of the vessel. He also ruled out human error as the cause of the accident.
Kita semua, bangsa Indonesia.
President Joko Widodo earlier confirmed the discovery in the Bali Sea and sent the families of the victims his condolences. Rescuers also found objects, including a life vest that they believe belonged to those on board the vessel, which lost contact on Wednesday as it prepared to conduct a torpedo drill.
State Assemblyman Rob Bonta takes his oath as California's Attorney General. Bonta is the first ever Filipino-American to assume the position. After being sworn in, Bonta paid tribute to his parents, whom he described as activists who fought for democracy and farmers' rights in the Philippines. Bonta's selection as Attorney General has been hailed by supporters amid the rise of Asian hate crimes in the U.S. In 2012, Bonta made history as the first Filipino-American to be elected to the California legislature. In business, a farmers group files a graft complaint against Philippine Agriculture Secretary William Dar over his alleged failure to implement proper inspection protocols for imported pork products. The Samahang Industriya ng Agrikultura, or SINAG, filed the complaint before the ombudsman. The group says the failure to properly inspect imported pork has contributed to the spread of the African swine fever that has decimated the local hog industry.
Up to now, no, hindi pa rin chinecheck ng atin na Department of Agriculture yung mga dumadating na kargamento galing sa ibang bansa. Ibig sabihin, zero testing ang ginagawa. Kung makikita natin, parang ang ginagawa is pinapatay ang atin local industry, pero yung dumadating from other countries, hindi nila sinusuri.
One of the country's biggest business groups urging the national government as well as local government units to waive license fees for small businesses. Sergio Luis Ortiz, chairman of the Philippine Chamber of Commerce and Industry, says this would be a big help for entrepreneurs already struggling to cope with the pandemic.
Marami kasi dumadating sa amin sa mga chambers from the regions na nagreklamo na yung mga license taxes nila, alam naman natin nung isang taon halos walang kita. Ngayon, sigilan pa ng sigilan. Ano ba pwede i-wave na muna or at the very least, bawasan na muna yung mga licenses at fees na ini-impose.
And time for some sports action now. The Brooklyn Nets topped the Phoenix Suns 128-119 in Kevin Durant's return to active duty. The former MVP came off the bench to unload 33 points on the Suns. Durant missed three games after bruising his left thigh. Kyrie Irving added 34 points for Brooklyn, which improved 41-20 on the season. That's tops in the Eastern Conference. Phoenix slipped to 42-18, second best in the Western Conference. The Memphis Grizzlies continued their mastery of the Portland Trail Blazers. Ja Morant scored 28 points as the Grizzlies held on for a 120-113 win. It was Memphis's second win in the three nights against Portland. The two teams are ranked 7th and 8th in the Western Conference standings. Tennis great Rafael Nadal adds another trophy to his collection. The Spaniard won this year's Barcelona Open in dramatic fashion. He saved a match point, then went on to defeat Stefanos Tsitsipas in three sets in the finals. Nadal improved to 12-0 in the finals of one of his favorite tournaments. The 20-time Grand Slam winner will next plunge into action at the ATP Masters tournaments in Madrid and Rome. In entertainment, Chloe Zhao makes history as the first Asian woman and second woman to ever win Best Director at the Academy Awards. The 39-year-old Chinese-born filmmaker won for her film Nomadland. It tells the story of financially stretched van dwellers in the U.S. Zhao competed this year against Emerald Fennell, marking the first time two women were nominated in the category at the same time. But Zhao was the front runner after picking up trophies from the Directors Guild of America, the Golden Globes, and other groups of film critics.
Thank you. This is for anyone who has the faith and the courage to hold on to the goodness in themselves and to hold on to the goodness in each other, no matter how difficult it is to do that. And this is for you. You inspire me to keep going. Thank you. Thank you.
Nomadland also won Best Picture and Best Supporting Actress for its star Frances McDormand. Meanwhile, Yeon Yoo-jung became the first South Korean actor to win an award. The 73-year-old won Best Supporting Actress for her role as a grandmother in the immigrant tale, Minari.
I'd like to thank to my two boys who made me go out and work. So, beloved son, all I know, this is the result because mommy worked so hard. And I'd like to dedicate this award for my first director, Kim Gi-young, who was very genius director. I made a movie together with him, first movie. I think he would be very happy if he's still alive. Thank you very much. Tremendous thank you for everybody.
This year's Oscars was a milestone night for people of color. British actor Daniel Kaluuya won his first Oscar for his supporting role in the drama Judas and the Black Messiah. He played Fred Hampton, a Black revolutionary leader who was shot dead by Chicago police back in 1969.
We've got to celebrate life, man. We're breathing, we're walking. It's incredible. It's incredible. Like, it's incredible. It's amazing. Like, do you understand? I'm here. You know what I mean? So, I'm so happy to be alive. So, I'm going to celebrate that tonight. Do you understand? And I appreciate every single person in the room. Appreciate everyone watching at home. You know, love. Peace, love, and onwards. We go again.
The movie Soul also picked up the Oscar for Best Animated Feature Film. Soul is the first movie in Pixar's 25-year history to feature a predominantly Black cast, including a Black lead character. And that'll do it for today. Thank you for joining us. I'm Carmina Fonsentino. If you want to revisit today's episode, Dateline Philippines podcast is on Spotify and Apple Podcasts. Pay back this newscast too on ANC's YouTube channel and on ANC 24/7 on Facebook. Keep safe. Keep here on ANC.